very intense lead-in music for an intense segment about Wade Davis leaving the Kansas City Royals. 537-1350, the game KMAN, ways you can communicate with us here on the show. John Tyler and Mitchell back with you.
It's the Walking Dead thing.
No, I'm not a Walking Dead guy.
It's a good theme. It's not Better Call Saul, but it's not bad.
More of a Breaking Bad guy myself than the Walking Dead, if we're going to go with AMC shows. I did some work here. Well, hey, I love the sounder so much. Before we get to it, hit the hot stove for me again.
It's getting hot in here.
Hot stove.
Return of maybe our best bump that we have ever made here as the winter meetings roll on for Major League Baseball. Royals making news today. That trade did go through. It's official. Wade Davis for Jorge Soler, a slugger, a corner outfielder. At one point in time, the number 12 prospect in all of Major League Baseball goes from the Cubs to the Royals in exchange for Wade Davis, who seemingly was slightly on the decline. And you just told me the Cubs trying to make a move for him at the deadline, so they've had eyes on Wade Davis for a while. Royals weren't willing to go there last year. They're willing to go there now in the offseason. Instead, the Cubs last year wound up with their oldest Chapman, who helped them win the World Series. Bernie Pleskov, is a guy that we have had on the show in the past. He has worked for MLB.com. He's a former professional scout for the Astros and Mariners. And I will say, that does cloud this a bit because Soler is a total scout's dream. Big guy, power, athletic. He's a toolsy guy. He's not sabermetrics, on-base percentage guy that the new school baseball guys would love. He's an old school baseball prospect. But Bernie Pleskov, I tweeted to him because I just saw him putting some thoughts out there about the Soler Wade Davis trade and just asked him if he thought KC got a good haul here. And he says, yes, he is the type of slugger that may be able to figure out big league pitching in a hurry. They have bullpen depth. So pretty short and succinct on Twitter, but I think that echoes a lot of our thoughts. You know, you can absorb the loss of Wade Davis with your bullpen depth. It's not necessarily going to be Wade Davis last year quality, but you can take that hit there and then potentially increase how much good this does for the overall value of the team if Soler does pan out this year. And you've got him, an aspect of this we didn't talk about earlier, under club control for a long time, very cheap. Very cheap. Make, what, $3 million next year?
Yep.
Cheap.
$3 million next year and then $4 million the 3 years after that. So very manageable financially, and something that I think needs to be considered. When Wade Davis got hurt last year and Kelvin Herrera came in to be the closer for KC, he was 11 out of 11 with his opportunities, and we've seen that he has the stuff to be a closer. You need to remember that. And you also need to remember that a closer is a guy that's going to appear in maybe 50 or 60 games for you over the course of a season. Jorge Soler is probably, at least if he stays healthy, we're looking at least a 130 to 140 game type of guy. And with the tools that he brings to the table, that has to excite you quite a bit.
And my concern is not with Kelvin Herrera. Like, I have no doubt that he'll be able to step in and be a good closer. It's, you know, what happens on down the line. You've always had the three guys, seventh, eighth, ninth, be such a big part of what you do to win games. You know, I assume Matt Strom now is more of a lock to stay in the bullpen. Then you're going to have to figure something else out for the other big reliever if you're going to go with the 1-2-3 hammers at the back end of the bullpen there in 7, 8, and 9. But the Royals have been able to just plug guys in seemingly now for, you know, we're going on 3 or 4 years of having that real huge punch at the back end of the bullpen, which is something they created and other teams have latched onto and seen the value of, thus the Cubs trying to come after Wade Davis and then, you know, giving up a lot to go get Aroldis Chapman and win the World Series with him. In that respect, the Royals created a very hot market for relief pitching and then were able to completely capitalize on it. So they went out and made the trade that netted not only James Shields, but Wade Davis, which helped them create HDH in the first place, made relievers really valuable, and then flipped maybe the most valuable reliever they had out of that trio for a really good prospect. So they created the situation that allowed them to bring in such a highly regarded prospect. You got to give Dayton Moore credit for that.
And the other World Series team from this fall did the same thing last year. They went out and got Andrew Miller from the Yankees. I mean, it is a thing that if you are a contender, that is something that you feel like you have to have shored up going into the postseason. Having a guy that's dominant at the back end of the bullpen, I do think that KC went a long way toward instilling that mentality in a lot of front offices. And who knows, maybe that is the biggest legacy that Dayton Moore has in his time with Kansas City, changing the mentality of the way that all of the other general managers around baseball do their business.
And now we'll see if the Royals can turn Jerrod Dyson into something. See now reports that the Baltimore Orioles are interested in him. There have been a couple different teams linked there. It started with the Oakland Athletics. And the word and the buzz surrounding Jerrod Dyson seems to be more substantial than what I would have thought going into all this. But people seem to like, for the most part, the numbers that he's put up in a pretty extended role in the outfield for the Kansas City Royals. And they have a surplus of outfielders now with Orlando, Kane, Gordon, Dyson, Soler. They have that luxury that they could go ahead and do something with Jerrod Dyson. Again, losing some of the fun sort of toy value of Jerrod Dyson being a pinch runner and all that. I think some people would be sad to see that go in a respect. But depending on what you can get back from him, this still could be a good thing to make 2017 better. This is not, I think the moral of the story here is, well, it may be hard to see a guy like Wade Davis go. This is much different than, you know, Danny Duffy, for instance, has been one of the guys rumored to be out there. Like, if they move Danny Duffy, then you can start telling me, all right, this is a fire sale. This is about just trying to win for the future. Yeah, Lorenzo Cain falls into that category too. Wade Davis for Soler, I think, still gives you the opportunity to be better in 2017 and beyond.
And it opens up the money that, you know, we've heard from Dayton Moore several times that he is not selling on the idea of keeping some of those guys around as free agents. He thinks that some of this money that he's saving now could potentially go toward a contract for Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, Alcides Escobar coming up in the next offseason.
Well, I'm not holding my breath too much on all that, unfortunately. Still think 2017 is going to be the end of your window and a big run for a while, but hey, we'll see. You can't be serious. We'll finish up the show next. We may have to talk a little bit more wrestling. I apologize.